Our podcast will begin in just a moment. Our podcast distribution and production made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. If you haven't signed up to be an InvestTalk Insider, you're missing out on a lot of free information and a new info sheet called Can You Afford That House? The 12 Costs of Home Ownership. It's easy and free to sign up. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is September 9th, 2016, and it's a show where that above-average investor is the key. We're going to try to make you better than average. Being Friday, you know, it is Friday, it's always great to have a Friday. I'm going to skim some of the highlights of the weekly premium newsletter that I sent out today. It went out to subscribers in the email boxes earlier today, as it does every Friday. And I start out with the current market conditions, and I mentioned there wasn't very many economic statistics out this week, not like last week, which there was a ton. Most important one out, though, was the ISM non-manufacturing index. The manufacturing index came out last week, and the non-manufacturing, which means the service sector, came out this week, and we are more dominated by the service sector here in our economy. And I talked about the importance, relative importance of that. And I also talked about the Chapman University Economic and Business Review and GDP and what they think is going to happen. They had their mid-year update, you know, a couple months back. But I like reading that report. And then I compared that with what's going on with our GDP in the third quarter, what will affect it. The stock ideas had a couple stocks that we suggest you watch, one of them of which we own in our stock managed accounts. Portfolio management, I focus on important aspects of investing such as story stocks. Everybody loves story stocks. And say, look, I compared two companies. It was Tesla and Amazon. And one, I said, was probably not a good idea. So anyway, everyone loves story stocks. Everyone loves the fall in love with the story of the company and not paying enough attention to the actual fundamentals of the company. And the Consumer Watch section, which I put out every week, it's also in the newsletter. Online buying, holiday spending coming up, and how I think it would be very interesting for you if you want that, and that's kind of a non-serious. I mean, it's serious, but it's not necessarily stock market related topic. The consumer watch. So if you'd like to try the newsletter every month, for a month, it comes out every Friday. So for a month, you can sign up just for the 1 month if you want. It's $9.95. You go to investtalk.com, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and sign up. Now, do you have questions about reading the market or the economy? You can check in right now or anytime. Any money questions are good. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. We'll try to answer your question on the very next Invest Talk.
Hi, Justin and Steve. My name is Bill. I'm calling from Brick, New Jersey. I had a couple of questions. I'd like to know if there's any statistics on dividends and how many people and the percentage of dividends that are reinvested. Love the show. I'm a podcast listener and like to hear your answers. Thank you.
I would say no. I've never come across anything that tells me how much of the dividends are reinvested when companies pay dividends. I mean, for the S&P 500 or the Dow 30, how much of the dividends reinvested in their stocks? That stat, I don't think it's been published, or I've never seen it anywhere. And I do a massive amount of reading, so I've never seen that. So I'm not sure why you'd want to know, but I don't think it's really helpful for you to know, but I've never seen it either. So thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's try to answer another question through the text messaging system we have. Hi, Steve and Justin. This is another Justin from Toronto, Canada, calling about two stocks, SKX and PETS. I was wondering what you thought of them, as I'm interested in buying both and help would be appreciated. Okay, I think that's Skechers, SKX, if I remember right. We're going to do one, not both. Try to keep your questions to one, because not everybody's interested in stocks or the stocks you're interested in. So I try not to get too heavy in the stocks. But SKX is Skechers USA, and they're the tennis shoe maker, women's, children's, casual dress, and athletic footwear via department and specialty stores. Skechers is growing. It's been growing for some time. Their earnings are going to grow 11% this year and 17% next year. That's probably not going to be. Just so you know, when I tell you the earnings are going to be this year and this next year, these are estimates. And if you'll notice, it almost always seems like the estimates for the next year, estimates for this year, then the next year, always seem to be higher. Very often it's higher. It's an estimate. Don't believe it. But you got to use it. Don't necessarily pin your hopes on that, okay? It's an estimate. Sales growth, these are not estimates. These are actual growth quarter over quarter over quarter. Last quarter was 10%, the quarter before that was 27%. And that's never been below 27% except for the most recent quarter. And that's why the stock had a fall, okay? So SKX, if you look at the stock chart, you'll see it really fell hard, actually back in last October, and then it fell hard again with the earnings just recently here late July. And now it's still flumping around that bottom, around $23.48 today. It's still at the bottom. It looks like it's trying to build the bottom, and it got as low as, let's see, it looks like about 21-ish, $21. It's going to make $2.14. So that means it's a fairly reasonable price stock. It's a good price at this number right now. So this is where you want to pick it up. But I would wait till you see some strength come back in the stock a little bit. Wait for that strength. Or wait for the market to collapse and then it starts to come back. And then you'll pick it up. But it's a good solid company. Hardly any debt. Then pay a dividend. It is a $3.7 billion company. I think it's a solid company. It turns out that in practice, fixed index annuities aren't always a sure proposition and aren't as efficient a use of your money as you might think. I'm going to share with some, this is called a fixed index annuity. The salespeople tell you you'll never lose money. And they tell you, well, look, it's fixed to the stock market. You'll gain with the stock market, but it'll never go below your initial investment. I'm going to share some of the little known facts that they don't really tell you in the fine print. So you're going to talk about that. And that's going to be the main talking point. Does today, with the market falling 394 points on the Dow, does it really mean anything? Does it mean anything today, the move? And Target is making big changes. So should Walmart and Kroger and Whole Foods, those stores, should they worry about it? We'll discuss that. And did you see the article about Apache Oil and the big fine they had? And I saw this, was it yesterday or the day before? And I didn't get a chance to share it with you, but I want to kind of put that in perspective. How big is that? And is it something we should concern ourselves with? Is it big enough to? And I wouldn't even be talking about it unless it was pretty massive, this oil fine, this new oil fine, not old one, a new one. So those are things we're going to talk about, but of course you come first. The Dow fell 394 points, the NASDAQ 133 points, and the S&P down 53 points. So the market broke out of its sideways movement today. It broke out of the extreme lack of volatility it's had for 2 months, and it's now shown a huge volatility today, and it's always down. 2.5%. Down for almost all three of the major indexes in one day. That's how fast it can happen. That's not unusual. That's usual, just so you know. That's not unusual. What has been unusual is the lack of volatility. That's the unusual part. Now we'll see on Monday if there's any follow through. Or is there going to be a bounce? Why did it fall so hard? Did you see why? Initially, it wasn't falling that hard. Anyways, we're going to talk about that in one of the talking points. Each month, I set aside time to review retirement portfolios on Skype and telephone with listeners all over the country. And also, I plan my face-to-face meetings in the Bay Area pretty regularly. San Francisco is set for September 20th and San Ramon on the 27th, San Jose on the 28th. So I'm going to be up in the Bay Area later on in the month. So if you want to schedule an hour with me, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab, or call 888-99-CHART. Follow the prompts.
Hello, Steve or Justin. This is Chris from Mississippi. I just wanted to point something out that might be interesting. You talk often about the 2X type ETFs that track things and how the tracking error happens. I was just looking at the VIX and TVIX. For some reason, TVIX is not tracking at all like it should. If you look at the last month, it's way down compared to the VIX. So there's a big tracking error there. I just want your opinion and what you think on that. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Yeah, I talked about this a few weeks ago about the VIX and VXX, and you mentioned the TVIX, which even is worse because it's a leverage, 200% leverage. And it is because of the way it's constructed, it's not really following the VIX. It's trying to, but it doesn't follow the VIX. It follows the instruments it uses lose value if the VIX goes sideways. So that goes down. And if you look at the VIX today, the volatility index, it was up 39.89%, okay? That was the volatility index all by itself. Now the TVIX is an exchange traded fund that is supposed to be twice the performance of the VIX, okay, on the short side, okay? So let's look at it. What did it do? Remember, the actual volatility index was up 39% today. Okay, TVIX, remember, is supposed to be twice that. So it should be close to 80, right? It was up 32% today. It didn't even match one times the VIX, and it's supposed to be two times leverage. You see how this is a problem? Don't buy into the leverage funds. They try and they're not necessarily successful. And their values keep going down, 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 not tracking the underlying, not tracking what they're supposed to tracking. The regular VIX has been going sideways for quite some time, whereas the VXX and then the TVIX have been going down the whole time. Nah, don't do it, people. It's too painful. It's just too painful. Okay? 888-99-CHART is our number. One reason to sign up for our free Invest Talk Insider program is the webinars. Now, we record our live webinars and make them available to our insiders. You can watch them anytime you want, like breaking the risk barrier, measuring and managing investment risk. Again, being an Invest Talk Insider is free. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab.
Got a question for Steve or Justin? You're the best person to ask it at 888-99-CHART. Now's the best time.
You can call us and I'd love to talk to you. I would love to answer any questions you might have. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. I was wondering what your opinion would be for ABX. I'm thinking about buying it, but not sure where it's a good point to get in.
Well, I own it. I've owned it for about a year now. I've done very, very well in it, and I still own it, even though I did sell half. Couple months ago, I sold back half, But when it on a recent pull down about 4 or 5 days ago, I said that, you know, this, if it bounces from here, is a buy. It did bounce for a couple of days, and then it's down a couple of days. Frankly, Mike, I think you buy it. I think you go ahead and buy it. I think this is a good buy point.
Is there a support or resistance that?
Yeah, this is ABX, everybody. It's Barrick Gold Corporation. It's a Canadian gold mining company, and it's a $20 billion company. So it's a big cap company. So, and that's after, you know, having a really bad couple of years. So it's still a really big company. Yeah, strong support comes in right about $25.50. It's $26.41 now. And so it hit that strong support 6 days ago and bounced. So now it came down the last 2 or 3 days about halfway, and it tends to want to bounce from here. Even gold went down today when the market went down. So gold does not necessarily go up all the time when the market goes down, but it tends to go up when everybody gets frightened, okay, or the dollar goes down. Well, what happened was, did you take a look at the dollar today? You know, the dollar, let's see, make sure I'm correct. Yeah, the dollar went up today. So the gold went down because the dollar went up, even though the market went down. Mike, appreciate it. Yeah, I'd be a buyer ABX at this point. Appreciate it. Is that thank you. I don't know if that's confusing what I just said, Bart. Usually when the dollar goes down, gold goes up. And many times when the market goes down, gold goes up. Well, here this time the market went down hard and gold went down too. Well, that's because the dollar went up. Well, you can see that the relationships are tied, but they're confusing. They're complex. It's not just a simple one-to-one relationship. It never is. Gold tends to have a mind of its own. It goes where it thinks it wants to go. And therefore, the gold mining companies will too. Interesting, though. And that's kind of what the talking point was today, one of the talking points today, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Annuities. This is something that I get this asked questions a lot. Well, should I have an annuity? Should I keep it? Should I sell it? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about fixed annuities. Why fixed annuities aren't the best use of your money many times. Okay, what is that? This is not just a plain old fixed annuity, it's a fixed index annuities we're talking about. A fixed annuity is like a CD. Remember, annuities are an insurance company product. You're agreeing with an insurance company, and the insurance company agrees to pay you. It's a contract. It depends what the contract says. And a fixed index annuity that they'll never lose your money. That's kind of the promise. And the catch is you'll never lose any money, and you get to go up when the market goes up. So if the market goes up, you get that benefit. That's not true, by the way. That's not really true. What they're saying is that the insurance company is promising you that if the stock market goes up 5%, you will go up 5% with the market. However, there's a few caveats to this. For instance, anybody who has a fixed index annuity, did they ever talk about the quote-unquote participation rate? That's the rate that they participate in the move up in the market. So if the market goes up 5%, but your participation rate is 75%, you only go up 75% of the 5%. Okay? Now, they also have a cap. Okay, so did they talk about the cap? The cap could be 3%. It could be 10%. It could be whatever it is. But let's make it simple. Let's say, because I need to do the math in my head. Let's say that the market goes up 7% and your participation rate is 75%. That means you get, 5.25%. But you might have a cap of 5%. So you really had a cap of 5%. Then you throw on the 75% participation rate. So you really only get 3.5% when the market went up 7%. But wait, that's not only necessarily everything. They might also have a margin or spread that they talk about, which could also reduce your total return for that 7%. It's not simple. Anyways, be very careful with any kind of annuity. We're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through. You can do it right now. However, on annuities, one other thing, be also very careful trying to get out of them, because many of them have a penalty to get out. I don't like you paying penalties. So just be careful. 888-99-CHART is our number.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. In case we haven't mentioned it, KPP Financial serves clients all across the U.S. If you'd like to have Steve review your retirement portfolio personally, you'll be ahead of the game. Steve carves out a few hours each month to meet with our podcast subscribers via the telephone or Skype, and it can be a very educational hour. To set up a time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, and then portfolio review. Or if you'd like, call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. You're listening to Invest Talk for this Friday, September 9th. A mix of traditional financial instruments, structured products played a pivotal role in building the 2008 housing bubble. Structured Products 101, Big Promises, Big Risks. That's next time. But what about right now? 888-99-CHART is how to reach us with your question from anywhere in the U.S.
Hey guys, I'm calling in to ask you what you guys think about the Vanguard Total Stock ETF. The ticker symbol is VTI. I wanted to put about $4,000 and just, you know, hold it for 18 years or so, you know, and just see if that would be a good choice. Thank you very much.
Yes, it would be a good choice. VTI is the Vanguard Total Stock Market ETF, so it's the whole market index, okay? And yes, it's one of the least expensive index funds, and you buy it when it corrects. And if you take a look, it tracks the S&P 500 very close to what the S&P 500 is, because the S&P 500 makes up 80% of the market, and this one, this VTI, is 100% of the market. So you want to wait till it corrects, and then dump your money in it. Put it away, don't look at it anymore, and in that many years, you'll do very well. Now, the trick is you cannot look at it. You cannot try to mess with it over those years. So leave it alone. It will work. All the index funds will work over that length of time, okay? As long as they're broad enough. If they're very narrow, then they may not, but if they're broad enough, they will. They will work. Yeah, you could have 5 years, 10 years of that time where they won't work. Yes, and that's where your fortitude comes in. What's your fortitude? Can you handle it? And most people cannot handle it. Cannot. They can't handle seeing their money going from $4,000 down to $2,000 and just say, okay, I'll just hold on to it. They get out. And then when it goes back up, then they get back in. Then when it goes back down, they get back out. And what happens is they sell at lows and buy at highs. It's very common. So if you can promise me that you'll buy this on the next pretty decent dip in the market, you can be patient. When the next 10% correction or more comes, buy it, and then you promise me you'll ignore it for 18 years. Yeah, this is a great choice. It's a good, good choice. VTI, Vanguard Total Stock Market Index. 888-99-CHART, does today mean anything? The market went down 2.5% or so. Does it mean that the market's going to collapse on you? Nope, doesn't mean that. Does it mean we're in correction? Nope, could be, could not be. One day is absolutely meaningless, everybody. Now, do you remember in 1987, take it back in time, you know, go back to 1987 here. I got the Wall Street Journal in my hand for Tuesday, October 20th, 1987. The stock market plummets 508 points amid panicky selling. That was about 20%, by the way. Okay? 20%. One day. Now, the trick, though, was is that the market was already weakening several days a week beforehand. It wasn't just this one day was the really big, deep crash. Okay, and back then, that 500 points was 20%. Do you realize how much 20% would be on the stock market today? I mean, that, remember, that was the Dow. 20% of the Dow today, when it's sitting at 18,000, it's like 4,000 points, 3,000-something points. One day. Here we are panicking or worried about 394 points. Not much. It is meaningless. Now, if you have a follow through on Monday, and then it might be a problem. If the market bounces up, let's say it recovers half on Monday, and then Tuesday it continues being lower than the low it had today, that would be negative. See, it's starting to set up a trend there, on a short term trend downward, and you're trying to determine if that's what's happening. I will say this: it broke support down today. Now, it's going to find support around 18,000, and that's right where it is, 18,085, very close. There's support here. So this is support, right, kind of where it is, a little bit lower than this, but there's support. Is it going to hold that support? If it doesn't hold that support, it's going down to 17,5, then maybe down to 17,172. We shall see. So one day doesn't really help us. Okay, it is interesting to note that for every 19 stocks down, one was up, and that's that 98% of volume today was down volume. That's pretty negative, but I don't think I saw panic selling. I don't think I saw that. Because I'm looking at the volume, and the volume is higher today, yes, but it wasn't like twice as high. It wasn't huge volume. So I don't see panic. I just see worry, but I don't see panic. Panic would be huge volume on a big downstroke. This is a big downstroke, but if the volume was really big, that would worry me more. People panicking out. And that tends to last a little bit when that happens. Let's go to Mike, Half Moon Bay. How you doing, Mike?
Hi. Thank you very much, Steve. Yes, sir. I wanted to find out your opinion about the Ford Motor Company. I've been watching the stock, and they're not doing – I mean, they're paying very good dividend, and it seems like they're profitable, but the stock is not moving. Would you please comment on that?
Yeah, this is a Ford Motor Company, and all motor companies are always usually tough to invest in. Tesla is the exception, but – I wouldn't buy Tesla with monopoly money at this point. Too expensive.
Okay.
But Ford Motor Company is a pretty good value. It pays a 4.8% dividend, and that's probably going to stay. The PE is around 6. Earnings is pretty decent, but it was $1.93 per share last year. It's going to be $1.87 this year and $1.85 next year. So that's kind of putting a little bit of kibosh on it. And they have a lot of debt. Okay, but I would think, my opinion is probably a pretty good buy here at right where it is, around $12. It's at $12.38. I think that's a pretty darn good price for the company if you're going to hold it for a long term. Because I think Ford's not going anywhere. They do have a lot of debt, but the car companies have a lot of debt, and that worries me. But, I wouldn't be a car company buyer, Mike, simply because I don't like them paying big dividends and having lots of debt. To me, that makes no sense, but it's been kind of the tradition that the car companies do that. But that was one of the reasons why GM went out of business. They had a huge amount of debt they couldn't handle when the financial crisis happened. They couldn't handle the big debt. Anyways. So, yeah, I think there's a good price for it right here. Okay?
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Mike. Still could go down more, but I think it's a good price. Do you know that when you roll over your 401k, after-tax contributions can only be rolled into an IRA or a retirement plan that keeps track of the taxable and non-taxable parts? You know, you can put taxable money into a non-taxable account. Did you know that? You got to keep track of it, and then you won't have to pay taxes on that money you put in after you pull it out. Very interesting, but most people don't realize the danger. So I really suggest you not do that. You only put money that you can that are taxable, non-taxable money into the 401k. That's a tax write-off. You can help make those, help answer those questions, help you with all that. Just go to Ask Steve or Ask Justin, hit the Contact Steve or Justin button, and talk and type in your question on InvestTalk.com.
Now, InvestTalk Real Estate. Chevy Akison, real estate agent and investor, speaks with Justin Klein about the ups and downs of downsizing.
Now, a lot of seniors are looking to downsize. What are some of the things to think about? You know, you're obviously going from a home that's much bigger, more furniture, and you're trying to manage yourself into a smaller home around the same time frame, right? Because you don't want to have this big gap where you're moving some other place and then you have to jump to it to another spot. Especially if you're older, you might be a senior, that's a little more difficult. So what do you see with buyers handling the selling and the purchasing at the same time?
It's a great question. You know, the first thing that I always recommend to clients, if they're thinking about selling and potentially buying something else, is to talk to a lender. If they can qualify for the next property, it's going to make the process a little bit easier for them. Most neighborhoods now I'm extremely confident that we're going to be able to sell the property relatively quickly. So if you can buy something, have it at least in contract without having to sell your property, you're going to be in a great position. It's not always possible, but the first step would be talk to a lender. See if you can qualify to own your current property and buy something else. If that's not possible, then we can set up another game plan. You know, I would recommend for people making such a huge transition, don't hesitate maybe even leasing for a while. Make sure you're comfortable with an area, especially if you're going from a normal family neighborhood to maybe a 55 and older community. Don't hesitate to maybe rent a property in that neighborhood for a year or two before deciding to buy, if you're making a big move like that.
And if someone out there needs a lender, doesn't know where to turn, we have some great lenders we work with.
We have some great lenders. You know, one thing I always recommend to my clients is to get approved with two or three lenders. If you can save an eighth or quarter point on your loan over the life of owning a property, that can be tens of thousands of dollars.
Absolutely.
We're going to negotiate really, really hard to get the best deal and save 5, 10, 15, maybe 50,000 or more in the negotiations to buy the home. And the mistake I see a lot of people make is they just go with the first lender they talk to and they don't shop it at all, and they end up paying a little higher rate than they would have to. So it's important to have a lender you trust and that you like and can get it done, but it's also important to you know, make sure that you're getting the best financing possible as well.
If you have a question, 888-99-CHART is the number to call, or contact KPP's own licensed realtor and financial advisor, Justin Klein. Click on Contact Justin on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Dave in San Jose. How you doing, Dave?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
Thank you.
I had a question about gold. I know you're not much of a gold bug, but I kind of am, and I was wondering why didn't gold go up today as a safe haven as opposed to falling like it did with the rest of the market?
Okay, because the dollar went up. Because if you were paying attention, which, you know, I know you probably got a life and you can't pay attention like me. right? But what happened is one of the Fed, Rosengreen, from Boston, he said that rates are probably going to go up this year. That's one of the things that helped the market fall. But if rates go up, that's supportive of the dollar to go up, right? Because people will want to buy the dollar because interest rates are rising. So when interest rates are rising, gold has a hard time. When the dollar is rising, gold has a hard time going up. So it didn't go up like it would normally if the stock market fell. So that's gold kind of can go on its own ways. You just got to be careful. But I, even though I'm not a gold bug, I still think gold has another leg up. I don't think it's done rising. I don't.
All right. So Today's decline was just because one of the Fed guys said,
yep,
basically what's the obvious in the markets. I mean, was this in regards to a September hike, or is it a December hike, or just a
he talked about that. He mentioned the word surprise in his wording. And everybody thought, surprise, oh no, surprise hike? That would be, that's scary. Oh no, is that going to happen? The market gets is like a spoiled child in the short term. It could go anywhere because of something that's kind of meaningless. One Fed guy means nothing. Yeah, but it did. Right. He did talk, and he mentioned the word surprise rate increase that is possible, and that scared the market and made the market go down faster. Remember, the market doesn't like surprises at all. And the market went down faster, right. But if there is a surprise hike in the rate, that would mean the dollar would go up, and it went up in anticipation today, and that doesn't help gold. Gold does better when the dollar's weak. They appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's go to Jim in Indiana. How you doing, Jim?
I'm great, Steve. How about you this evening?
Good. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, I've got my 403B through my employer, but I'm also wanting to open up a Roth IRA and mm-hmm. and just dollar cost average in as I have a little extra change in my pocket. But I opened that thing up today and put some money in an account through E-Trade, and I was going to buy some mutual funds, but mm-hmm. the transaction fee was $20.
Oh, really?
Which, when I'm talking about throwing in $100 or $200 at a time, is a pretty hefty bite out of that amount. Am I looking at the wrong thing, or did I go the wrong way with E-Trade?
Was that a mutual fund or was that an ETF?
It was a mutual fund.
Okay.
The ETF had a $10 trade fee.
Okay. Then I would not use I would not buy the mutual funds. Buy an ETF. And they didn't give you any free trades up front, like, for opening a new account? They didn't give you, like, 10 free trades or anything like that?
No.
Those cheapos. Usually you get some free trades initially when you open up a new account. Use the ETF indexes. If you want, and I would suggest the Vanguard. We talked about the total market index, VTI. That's the Vanguard total market index. You don't have to do that one, but Vanguard is very low expense ratios. So you might want to consider that. And use an ETF. And if you're just going to do an index, use ETFs
right.
versus the mutual fund. If there's, the trading cost is half, $10 versus $20.
Are there other brokerage firms that I should look at instead of E-Trade that are going to give me a little flexibility?
You can check with Scott Trade, TradeStation. I'm just trying to think of the different ones. There's a number of discount brokerages out there. And go online and ask for a list of them. And most of them give you like free so many trades if you open an account. So check that out.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's look at my portfolio checkup calendar. I'll be in the Bay Area in San Francisco on September 20th, San Ramon 27th, San Jose the 28th. Now, if you'd like to meet with me, go to investtalk.com and ask for an appointment. It's pretty simple stuff. Did you see this article about Target, who's making big changes? Target stores, they're going to add like 60 to 100 employees per store just for the grocery section, and they're going to change it to have a lot more. They're going to get it more dedicated to the grocery section, and they're going to change, which represents about 20% of their sales, by the way, and they're going to change it to be more green, more organic. And it looks like they kind of want to follow Trader Joe's stores. And that's going to be putting a lot of pressure on Walmart, Kroger, Whole Foods. And I'm thinking we're going to see more and more competition in this area. So it might be an area that's going to be pretty tough in the future. And did you see what the Apache Corporation, their big oil find? I mean, not big. It's huge. It's huge. It's on about 300,000 contiguous acres worth about there's about 3 billion barrels of oil, 75 trillion with a T, cubic feet of gas. This is a Shell, by the way, Shell. And they're saying that they're going to be able to pump the gas out at for like 10, 15 cents per million BTU. versus what, $3? That's what it cost. Now, to do this, they're going to have to spend a bunch of money. Their capital spending budget for 2016 went from $200 million to $2 billion. This is going to be huge. 3 billion barrels of oil. 75 trillion cubic feet. This is one of the biggest finds in the United States. And this was on land that they knew that the shale formation was over there, but they felt that it was, they meaning the oil industry, everybody felt it was very low probability of having any reserves in there that they could really get out. So no one really checked it out. And what was funny, what is funny, well, not funny, it's how about smart, Apache Corporation found it, and they kind of quietly, this is a couple months ago, 3, 4, 5 months ago, and they quietly went around and bought all the rights, the mineral rights, to 75-80% of this 300,000 contiguous acres before they told everybody what was there. Pretty smart, huh? Smart. So that's a huge oil find. We could be independent, oil, I mean, energy independent if we want to. We really could. It's kind of a dynamic there that, you know, would we then worry about the Middle East as much, you know, because we could supply our own needs, especially with, you know, with solar power getting better, electric cars getting more desirable and people wanting them. I mean, you know, it's going in the direction that makes a lot of sense long term. Let's try to answer one more test question. Hello, longtime listener. I purchased ACIA in the mid-50s and has exploded since. Do you think this is sustainable growth, or is it time to take the money off the table? Let's look at it. ACIA. Okay, that is Acacia Communications. Develops high-speed interconnected modules for cloud infrastructure. I like that. Operates and communication service provider. It's a $3.8 billion company, and they've had sales that went up 100% last quarter. Okay, you know you're going to have to pay up for it. They're going to make $2.67 this year, then $3.17 next year. This year, it's a 200% increase. Next year is a 19% increase. PE is 65. Okay, it's a $106 stock. It's a fairly new IPO. You know, I don't think it's wise. I mean, it came out, I think it's like June this year. I don't think it's wise to buy an IPO till after 6 months that it's been out. Most IPOs trade under their IPO price. This one's not. The IPO looks like it was at $23. $23, and here it is, $106. Okay, and we are, what? three more months, so it'd have to fall pretty darn high, hard. But I wouldn't buy it here. Chasing performance. You're chasing performance. Don't chase things. Don't buy it. Our time is up, everybody. Remember, your questions keep me on track. Addressing money issues you want to talk about, not what I want to talk about. You can use our 24-hour listener line. Call anytime. Leave your questions. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley and president of KPP Financial. It's a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today, and let's get together again tomorrow or next Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.